Again, thank you so much for being here. We certainly do appreciate it. We are talking today about the subject matter of mothers. We had talked about families this past week, and I thought, well, this works out good for me to talk about this. And I had mentioned in the first lesson that this is certainly human-made, and if you go back and study it, you'll figure out that it was totally human-made. But it is one of those where it has become important to people, and certainly it should be. I don't think this should, just like a lot of things, I don't think this day alone should be set aside for mothers. Mothers deserve it. Pam shook her head, yes. Only Nathan's here, though, so we'll have to catch Nick later. But we talked about Eve being the mother of all living. Now, when we think about this, some characteristics of godly mothers. When we think about this in 1 Peter 3, this was kind of alluded to, but not really gone through when we were studying about the family. And when we think about how wives should be, there's a beautiful thought about this, about the fact that as they are as wives, how they're going to teach their children. And so if they don't behave the way they should to start with, then in front of their children, then how are their children going to turn out? So let's read this. Likewise, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, they without a word may be won by the conduct of their wives. When they observe your chaste conduct, now I didn't use all the things that are in here, but accompanied by fear, that's the tremendous reverence for God. When someone sees that in their mother, certainly they would know that this person is doing the best they can to live that way. Other translations would say reverent and chaste behavior. This is the idea of purity of life, that you, she's not sinless, but she is blameless. That is, when she does make mistakes, when she does sin, she corrects those as quickly as she can, and she does what it's necessary to make that right. Do not let your beauty be that outward adorning of arranging the hair, of wearing gold, or putting on fine apparel. Is he saying, don't do these things? The word fine has been put in there, by the way, so we know that he's not talking about the fact you're not supposed to put on clothing or take care of yourself. He's simply saying, if that is all that the husband or the children see in you, then it's going to be a problem, because that's really not what God wants. But let it be the hidden person in the heart with the incorruptible, that is, imperishable ornament of a gentle and quiet spirit, which is very precious in the sight of God. Having this gentle and quiet spirit is going to be shown. Other translations will say an imperishable jewel. It reminds me of what's said in the Old Testament about the value of a woman is far above rubies in talking about a wife, but not just as a wife, but as a mother as well. But it goes on to say, this is very precious in the sight of God, for in this manner, in former times, the holy women who trusted in God also adorned themselves, being submissive to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters you are if you do good and not afraid with any terror. This is not because of the fact, as we pointed out, that the woman is lesser in any way, shape, or form. Maybe physically not as strong most of the time, but that's not what he's talking about. He's talking about an order he put in. It was no different than the Son of God submitting himself to the Father in heaven. He chose to do that. Does the Bible say he was equal in all points to God? Absolutely, because he was God. But he's making a point about how if a woman understands this, she certainly will be that way and will understand that. That is to be in subjection. It's kind of like, as someone has put it, it's just a military term. It's the way God ordered things, and that's the way it should be. If she isn't this way, guess how the children are going to be? Let's talk about the incredible value of godly mothers. I would argue that they're home starters. Men can do everything they want to, but without a woman, there will be no start of a home. There will be no offspring. There will be no children. And it's up to her. And we see, and this has been a discussion for many years. I'm just going to use the verse. I'm not going to get into the arguments about what it can mean and what it can't mean. But in 1 Timothy 2:15, nevertheless, she will be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith, love, and holiness with self-control. Have you ever heard people say, well, I just dread children coming into the world right now. It's getting to be a very evil place. Would I want my godly children? And yes. If there are no godly children, it's going to be godless. There was a time when there was only 8 souls when he told Noah that, it would seem he was about 500 years old and had no children. It seems he had Shem, Ham, and Japheth after that and brought them up godly, he and his wife. So when we think about that, the women are the home starters. They're the ones that spend the amount of time to bring this child in the world. The husband just watches it go by. And we kid about that a lot. But really, what does the man do? He can't bring the child in the world. It's up to the woman. She has a choice in this. But she's a home manager. Have you ever heard someone put up all the list of things that women are to do in the family the Bible talks about? And the absolute value of that? And they say that most CEOs don't have that much responsibility? You know why they don't? Because CEOs, so what if so-and-so dies out there? Well, a parent can't just do that. A mother can't do that. She's going to give her life for the child if need be. She's going to do whatever it takes to save that child. She has total responsibility for their well-being. How many hours a day does she have that responsibility? Do you know many CEOs for 24 hours, 7 days a week have that responsibility? No. If you've ever looked at that list, if you placed her value in the pay that she should receive for that, I could never have given my mother enough money, and my dad couldn't either. There's not enough money in the world. And it wasn't because I turned out so great. It's because of what she did to try to get me to turn out at all. But in 1 Timothy 5:14, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house. Look that word up. It's not just talking about, well, you know what? She's got to make sure there's some groceries there. That's not what this is talking about. This is a tremendous responsibility. I know the husband is to lead and be the head of the household. But she manages that household. The term here is she, in the background, is doing everything possible to make sure this household is run. She's taking care of the children. She's making sure they're taken care of. And of course, we'll use another passage. Remember, in a minute, that'll go into greater detail about another aspect of that. But she's a home uniter. We studied, when we were studying Proverbs, how easy it is for the woman to destroy the home, but we haven't studied the fact that that's not what God wanted. He wanted her to be the uniter. He wanted her to bring things together. And I'll tell you what. You know why it's so hard for men to get up and teach about the responsibilities for the wife and the mother? It's because the major responsibility shouldn't be on us. He said in Titus 2 that the older women do it. It's got to be passed on. These grandmothers need to be passing on to these mothers who need to be passing on to the next mothers. When we look at this, he says, the older women are to do this. They're to be teachers of good things. What are they to do? To admonish the younger women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, the word of God may be blasphemed. Do you know why homes are torn up? Because older women are saying, don't do that. Don't be that. And God said, you better be that. And when we look at this, that's the woman that unites it. She's to love all of these people. She's to have genuine affection for them. She's to make sure that this household is taken care of. She's to make sure that she lives the type of life as the type of example that she should. She's to be the homemaker. I think people make fun of this term. I don't think they understand what they're saying. She makes the home. She's the basis for the home, according to Proverbs 31. She's the one everyone else rallies around. She's the one that makes sure everything's in place. This woman has managed this perfectly. I appreciate what Roger Starn said about that. He kind of said it in jest, but I just want Roger Starn Sr. But I just wanted to repeat it. He said, wow, this woman was teaching her son, the king, he needs to look for the perfect woman. Yes, he does. Don't ever encourage your son to go out and pick someone who doesn't care about God, who doesn't care about things. Is he going to find the perfect woman? It's the old joke about the man who was looking for the perfect woman. When he found her, she wouldn't have him because she was looking for the perfect man. The truth on this is that doesn't exist, but we do need to find a godly woman. And that's what he's talking about, this, a virtuous woman. You notice what all, we talked about this, and of course a lot of you weren't in our Wednesday night class when we were talking about this, but she works. She serves. She takes care of. not just her family, but they see her taking care of the needs of others. They see her in her little spare time that she has going and doing things for others. She's not afraid of what might happen to her household. She's taking care of it. She realized ahead of time what things are needed, and she got them together, and she had them there for them. Said she's not afraid of the snow in the wintertime. Huh. Why? Well, she didn't wait till the first snow came. Oh, you know what? I forgot. These are physical things, but they're important things. It is a part of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. She makes the home. You don't see the husband in this doing this. You see the woman, the mother doing it. And I'll tell you what, I don't think men appreciate the role that the woman plays and how important this is. But she doesn't just do that. She opens her mouth with wisdom, and on her tongue is the law of kindness in verse 26. She watches over the ways of her household, and that's a mouthful. I don't think it was just she's kind of seeing what's going on. She actually watches over it. If it's not going right, she's going to make sure that it does. All the ways, the spiritual ways, the physical ways, all that's going on. She does not eat the bread of idleness. You know, I feel for women sometimes. They go do all of this and then they stay up all night because a child is sick and go back the next day and go right back to doing exactly the same thing again. Her husband praises her. Children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her. Many daughters have done well, but you excel them all. And think about that. That is the basis. But she's a homeschooler. Now, I'm not talking about in this that she necessarily teaches them the secular things that's possible with some women. They do that. So in addition to teaching them secular things, they take on a great responsibility of teaching them spiritual things. Did you notice that what she did? On her tongue is the law of kindness. She opens her mouth with wisdom. You know why her children rise up and call her blessed? Because that's what she's been doing. She's taken the time to talk to them, to teach them. Timothy's father was a Greek. He had not been circumcised as a result of this. The father had said no. But look what the mother was doing in the background and the grandmother in teaching Timothy. We find, first of all, this genuine faith was in them, as I mentioned earlier in 2 Timothy 1:5. But look over at 3:14 and 15. Where do you think he learned this? Well, we know from looking at the scriptures, it would indicate the father had not. But what we see is the mother. But as for you, continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. That from childhood you've known the holy scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament. You knew the law of Moses. You had followed the law of Moses. You had done exactly what was in the law of Moses. But you know why you did that, Timothy? Because you had been taught them and learn them from childhood. So much of what I know and what I am, I would argue, was a result of both parents. But my mother, my father. But we're talking about mothers today. All the teaching that I received. To follow God's Word, follow God first was what I was taught. You will do what we say when you're in our household, unless you can prove we're not doing it according to God's will. But other than that, you will always follow God first. And that's what I was taught. And it goes on to talk about that because the scriptures are. So, she does that, but she's a home builder. You know, homes are built around mothers. Nations are built around it. As I said earlier, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. And when we think about it and we understand that, we certainly understand the great power that a woman has. I could go about some evil women in the Bible, but look at the godly women. And think about this. I'm going to pick on Kyle and Jennifer just a moment. They have no idea about the child that they're bringing into this world. That child could make a great difference, and I will argue will make a great difference in the lives of people if there is time left on this earth. Because if you do that, regardless of how we might feel about ourselves, what's the impact one person has? Well, our Lord and Savior certainly had tremendous impact that still is around today. Every wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her hands. So a woman, a mother, can either build up or tear down. But I would argue, godly women are builders. They will build it. They'll keep building on it, and they'll keep building on it, and they'll keep building on it until it becomes what it needs to be. So what do mothers do? Well, we might all have some things that we could think about our mothers, and some of us would certainly say we loved our mothers dearly. Maybe everyone in this room would. Some mothers tried to follow God, maybe, that are in this room, and some of your mothers, and some of the mothers may not have. But what they do? Well, one of the things they do, they hugged and kissed us right in front of our friends. You know, we were getting ready, and it was like so embarrassing. And you know, it's just not something we really wanted to put up with. You know why they did that? They loved us. They just couldn't resist. There they were, and they just had to do that. I mean, it's just something with a mother. I don't know what it is, but they just have to show us that affection all the time. It's like, drives you nuts, doesn't it? But there they are. Now, Dad, on the other hand, not so much. But my mom, absolutely. They told us to behave ourselves. You know, for years, that's all I ever knew. Just, you behave yourself. I was like, what? I mean, of course I knew what it meant. They'd already told me. They told me what it was like to be a person, and they had shown me. My mother had shown me how you act. And so she expected the same out of me. You know what she also said along this line? And if you don't behave yourself... Debbie's laughing. Notice Tabitha's not. But if you if you don't, when you get home, anybody ever heard this? Now, you know why? Because they loved us. You know why? They didn't want us to spend eternity or be in eternity in hell. They told us how much they loved us right in front of someone else. Oh, how embarrassing. I mean, there you were with your friends, and here's your mother telling you she loves you. And why? She wants them to know too. And she wants you to know the effects of that. That with that comes a lot of things. You know what? My mother loved me when I wasn't very unlovable. When I was not a person that was very good. When I was not a person that was very respectful. When I was not a person that behaved like I should. She just kept loving me. She never gave up. She dressed me decently even when those around me weren't. She said, "You will not dress that way. You are going to dress like God wants you to. He expects if you're going to be a good spiritual person, you need to be dressed and show that in your physical attire." She said, "You will dress this way." I got to tell you something. It's embarrassing when you're young and they go ahead and sew the patches on when you first get the jeans. Just because somehow or another I always wore out the knees of my jeans. It's embarrassing. But she did it because that's what we had. That's what we had to live with. And she took care of us. Boy, she babied me when I was sick. I would never, ever tell my dad I was sick. It was like, "You'll be fine." It was like, I don't want that. I wanted someone to be there and coddle me and come in when I... She told me one time, well after the fact, when I was an adult, she said, "You know, when I gave you that bell in the second grade, you know, I've told you about the illness that I had, and it lasted for quite some time. Before I could get my strength back," she said, "when I gave you that bell, I got so tired of hearing that you ring that bell. Because if I wanted the smallest thing, because you know what I knew she'd do? Here she'd come." And, you know, I don't remember once her ever saying, "What are you doing?" She just came. It's amazing. Well, many times have mothers dropped their kids off and cried. First time we went to school, every mother pretty much tells the same story. Boy, it was hard on me. Or maybe at a friend's house and leave them overnight. And it's like, wow, that is tough. Dads are like, thankfully we got them out of the house for a little bit. But the mother's not, no, not that way. Or you ever heard, you remember your mother saying certain things? Like, "Pretty is pretty does." Boy, if my mother said that once, she said it a million times, and I'm not exaggerating. That was one of her things. She said, we used to when we was kids, you know, you want to know, and you ask your parents, and you trust them, or, you know, "Do I look good?" She would never say, she never, ever told us. She always said, "Pretty is as pretty does." My mother never, ever said if she thought that I didn't want to be pretty anyway. I wanted to be handsome, but that didn't happen either. But I never, if I'd asked, she wouldn't have told me. When the girls ask her, when my sisters ask her, she never would. She always says, "It doesn't really matter. You can look beautiful on the outside and be a mess on the inside." You ever heard that one? Remember who you are. Like, what? I've got my ID with me. No, that's not what I'm talking about. Remember who you are. You're God's creation. Don't ever, ever act like you're not. Remember that you belong to Him. Remember who you are. Now this one. Did God want you to act that way? They're like, you had to bring something up. I mean, you know. But yeah, it's effective. And you've got your list, right? You know what your mother said to you when you were growing up. And you know how some of those little sayings just stuck with you. And you went, I would never, ever, ever use those with my children. Then one day you say them. Just comes out. There it is, you know. And you say exactly the same thing. Why? Because of what we talked about earlier. If we don't continue to bring godly offspring into this world and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, there will be no one else to teach. It'll be over. Tough one. She actually spanked me when I did wrong. And I know my mother didn't like doing that. She hated that. I remember one time, and typically I don't talk about this, but just memories for you about mother, so you can have your own. She said, I'm going to spank you when you get home. Well, I had the gift of gab. I know that surprises you, but I did, and I convinced her by talking and talking and talking not to spank me. Unfortunately, my dad overheard it. I didn't know that. Guess what? You kind of get it from both of them when you get home, man. It's because he said, you're not doing that. You're not doing that. Because you're not penitent. You're just not wanting to be punished for what you did. He said, if you were penitent, that would be different. But you're not. And he was 100% correct. All I was trying to do was get out of not getting what I deserved. She told us beautiful stories from the Bible over and over again. She could make you cry, didn't your mother, when she told you those if she was godly? And express the emotion from them more so, say, than some of us preachers do. And it was, some of them are very touching. She told us about Jesus. She told us about how much He loved us. I don't know how many times she would let us know over and over again, even if others don't, Jesus always will. I'm going to tell you something. It is shameful when godly women are treated so badly by their children. Especially when they grow up and they treat their mothers like they're scum. Because they're ashamed of them. Because that's not the way it should be. Because this mother tried to live her life in such a way that they just... She just... You know, she's old fogey. She's not what she needs to be. I can't believe she acts that way. What is wrong with someone that looks at their mother that way? Ashamed of their mother. When she could have so many times been ashamed of them. And their behaviors, they grew up. So many times looked at them and said, I wish that wasn't my kid. Have you ever heard this saying about a parent, a mother in particular? Her child does something and she went, man, I could just crawl down the seat. Yeah, you know what they're talking about? But in turn, a child that looks at a mother that did everything they could in a godly way to bring that child up, and now the child looks at them in shame. There's something bad wrong. When that mother overlooked many of the things that we did, when she overloved us, loved us when we weren't worthy of it, she over-sacrificed, she gave up time, energy, and everything that she had so that I could have, and then overcame. It's a wonderful thing when you have a godly mother. And when we don't appreciate them enough, I believe the Bible clearly teaches that when we will not honor these good mothers, it is the same as if we don't dishonor Christ. People think, it's okay if I treat my mother badly. It's okay if I'm ashamed of her. It's okay because she does these things and I don't want other people to see this, that she truly believes in and believes is God's Word. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3 says, I'll tell you, young people, this is not just talking about when you're in the household. It's talking about honor. Honor is worthy for those that honor is due to. Good mothers deserve honor. Obey your parents, the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother that it may be well with thee. And this is the first commandment with promise. What is that commandment? That it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. As someone has so clearly said, you want to die young, treat your parents awful. You want to die young, pay no attention to them. You want to die young, treat them like scum. You want to die young, be ashamed of them when they're trying their best to do what's right in God's sight. I know of children who are grown up now, and they treat their godly parents like they're not even worthy to come in and wipe their feet on them. And I'm going to tell you something. Christ is going to look at them, and He's going to say to them in Luke 9, if you're ashamed of Me and My words, He's the one who told Me to honor My parents. He was the one that had said from the beginning to honor their parents even back then. So what do we have now in 9:26? Whoever is ashamed of Me and My words, of him the Son of Man will be ashamed when He comes in His own glory and in His Father's and of the holy angels. And that's going to be totally different. If you've treated your mother like that, a good, godly woman, I'm going to tell you something. I don't see any hope. And I'm just being blunt. You are going to face Christ. He's going to look at you and He said, you were ashamed of My words. You did not believe Me when I said you need to honor those good women. And you chose not to do it. So, depart from Me, you worker of iniquity. You are sinful. And I don't believe we'll have a chance. I can honestly say that I love my mother more today than I ever did when she was on this earth. When you start realizing what it takes. You know, it's an amazing thing. Godly mothers truly try to instill a genuine, a real faith in their children. They try to get them to accept it on the basis of theirs. Not their belief, but to get their children to have that same kind of faith. Because, see, we don't inherit our faith. There's not a one of us that says, you know what? My mother was a good woman. And I believe that with all my heart. I believe she was a godly woman, and I believe she did the best she can do. But I will never face Jesus and be able to say, listen, remember, my mother was a godly woman. Now, will you accept Me? He won't do it. I didn't inherit that. But what I did inherit was from a woman who taught me about that and about that faith in God. You see, Eunice not only taught Timothy, but demonstrated her faith and proved it was real and genuine. She didn't tell her children to do something she wouldn't do. She didn't direct them in some way that she wouldn't do the same thing. Mothers today need to demonstrate their faith. How? Reading the Bible. Don't just say I do. Worshiping God each day. Not just, oh, you know what? We go to worship. No, you worship your entire life and teaching others. A mother must show more interest in their children's soul than in the latest fashions. Spend great deal of time trying to dress them in the best and forget to dress them like God. More concerned about their eternal life than their success in life. Oh yeah, they may become the next president of the United States and be in eternity in hell. More interested in their relationship with Jesus and their popularity with others. You know what popularity is all about? It's whoever will agree with you at the moment. Well, you know what? Most people aren't going to agree with you about Jesus Christ the way we believe the Bible teaches. More concerned with their standing with God than their social status. Their spirituality than their intellectual, professional, or athletic accomplishments. So I approach God and I say, you know, son, daughter, I want you to know something. My son, he became a space traveler. I am so proud of that, aren't you, God? And he says, no, you see, Bill never obeyed my word. Wow. I'm going to pat myself on the back. I'm going to say, well, you know, he became a professional football player. Aren't you proud of that, God? And he says, no. He never spent any time. Every Sunday he was there playing football, and he never spent any time with me. And I'm going to say, but don't you think I did a good job? What is it we're concerned about? What if our children die with having very little in this life, but they have eternal life? Is it worth it? I'm not saying that some of these things are not okay in themselves. Where's the emphasis? If they gain the whole world and lose their own soul, what would you give in change for soul? Why bring a child into this world just to make sure that that child's lost eternally? Godly mothers want you to be saved. But you know what? So does your Heavenly Father. And I'm going to tell you something about this. As much as your godly mother wants you to be saved, He wants it even more. Way more. Way, way, way more. Because He gave up the sacrifice for our sins. He loved us so much it gave His Son on the cross. The thing is, it's your choice. Your parents can teach you. Your parents can try to train you up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It's up to you. Are you going to turn to God when it's all over and say, you know, I did exactly what I wanted to do? Or are you going to say, I did what you wanted me to do? Would you please stand? If you have any needs, we'll help you.